Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the four bright, scintillating, and erudite personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. Well, we have three of our regular panelists, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and Kenneth Williams, and in the fourth seat, the guest chair, we welcome Alfred Marx. So would you please welcome all four of them? Regular visitors in our audience will know that the creator of the game here, Mister, usually sits beside me and occasionally blows his whistle when 60 seconds is up and also keeps the score. Ian, unfortunately, can't be with us, but I'm fortunate because I have beside me lovely Anne Lynn to do that job for me. I'm going to ask our contestants to speak for just 1 minute on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And according to how successful they are, they will win or lose points. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. The subject to start with is magic, something of which you have in abundance. Would you talk on the subject of magic, starting now?
Magic makes me think immediately of Robert Houdin, who was described by Orson Welles as a genius who introduced the vanishing birdcage trick to the world in the 14th century, and the theatre matinee, may he rot and perish. On the other hand, it could be magic to hear Judy Garland sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Oh, to me, there is such an extraordinary aura of the miraculous about that woman. Magic is the only term that can be applied. On the other hand, Ella Fitzgerald doing Solitude. Well, that, I would think, was magic as well. Almost as magical as my own.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Repetition of magical.
No, he didn't repeat magical. He repeated the word magic. No. He's allowed to repeat magic as on the card.
Yes, that was magical.
You didn't repeat magical, did you?
I don't remember now. It was a long time ago.
No, I don't think you did repeat magical. And so you keep the subject, Kenneth, and you have 5 seconds to go, starting now.
When you see someone like, you know, the escapologist actually getting out of all that extraordinary...
That bell went...
Anne Ling blowing it, right?
It was Anne Ling blowing it. Experience with the whistle, yes. She was so nervous, she almost swallowed the whistle, actually. But your 60 seconds is up. And so, Kenneth, you were speaking when the 60 seconds came and the whistle went, and you gain an extra point for doing that, and at the end of that round, you have 2 points. In fact, you're the only person who has any points at all. So let us move on to the next round, and it is Peter Jones, and the subject is The Perfect Murder. Peter, there are 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Well, for a murder to be perfect, of course, it must be quite painless, and the person, the victim, mustn't know that they're being murdered or even hurt in any way. And, needless to say, they mustn't be discovered. A lot of murders have happened that nobody has ever actually found out about because they don't know that the people have died. People are walking about now who...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
I think yes, so, indeed, yes. There was, yes. And there are 34 seconds left for you, Derek, to talk about the perfect murder starting now.
The trouble about committing the perfect murder is you won't know that you actually committed it until you're dead.
Oh, and Alfred Marx the challenge.
Committing,
he
committing
said, the perfect murder and
did
commit.
Yes,
I see. That's right, nice to hear from you, Alfred.
Well, I just want you to know I'm here.
Yes. And,
one with big mouth on my right and big mouth opposite, there's not going to be much trouble. At least I can push a buzzer. At least I can do that.
And you did it very well,
Thank you very much.
And there are 29 seconds left with another point for Derek, and he keeps the subject of the perfect murder starting now.
So I put into my pocket this tin of cyanide, and I crept along a long alleyway at 11:47 on a Tuesday night. On the fourth door on the right-hand side, I turned the handle and entered the house. Going up the staircase, There was an elderly widow.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, I mean, you see, it's absolute crap, because, I mean, it says the fourth door on the right, enter the house. Well, I mean, he's in a block of flats if it's the fourth door on the right, so how can he enter out?
I quite agree. If he was lying the corridor, he must already be in the house.
Exactly, so in the corridor, he said, didn't he? I mean, he's misleading, and therefore comes under the heading of...
Deviation,
that was what I was trying to think of.
Yes. If it was a terrace, it would be the fourth door on the right.
You said in a corridor, you turned the door, one of the doors on the right.
Yes, yes. Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. Another point to you, and the perfect murder is with you. And there are 8 seconds starting now.
The perfect murder is committed, I'll tell you exactly how. You inject a load of air into their veins, and of course, by the time it reaches...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
You don't inject a load of air. That can't be right, can it?
Well, I don't know. It's what to you is a load. It might be different to what is a load to Kenneth.
Well, a load of air. I mean,
I think it was Kenneth's flamboyant phraseology.
Well, are we to make allowances for that every time?
We have to make allowances sometime, and on this occasion we do, because I think he just meant injecting air, and there are 3 seconds left for you on the perfect murder, Kenneth, starting now.
That oxygen lead.
And Alfred Marks, a challenge.
Well, it's not really a challenge, just to let you, absolutely to confirm that you know I'm here, you know. Yes. And also, as I haven't said very much, could you keep the others down there at the volume, because it keeps waking me up. Could they talk a bit quietly, please? Do you mind?
Kenneth, as you were interrupted, it's counted as a challenge, and it's an incorrect challenge. You do get another point. And you have 1.5 seconds left on the perfect murder, starting now.
Which, of course, stops the heart from beating, but nobody will be able to detect.
And when Anne blows her whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up. And who was speaking then? It was Kenneth Williams, who started with the subject and finished with the subject. So at the end of the first round, he has 2 points. In fact, the only person to have any points at all. Let's move on to the next round. Derek Nimmo, would you take the next subject, which is soul? You have 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Oh, how kind of Ian Meston, his infinite wisdom, to give me a subject as appropriate as soul. Because only yesterday I flew back from South Korea, and Seoul is the capital of that country. And what a wondrous 36-hour trip I had, having presented Mr. Leslie Phillips there in a play called Man Most Likely. Do you remember that gentleman? Because he's the one that Mr. Kenneth Wilms shaved most intimately in one of the early Carry On films. And anyone who saw that would have laughed a great deal. I thought it was a huge hoot. But so can be little fish that swim in the sea. And those I...
Alfred, you've challenged.
Total deviation.
Absolutely. I mean, you got right away from soul.
So, little fish that swim in the sea.
Oh, no.
No, you were talking about.
Leslie Phillips is not a little soul.
What's wrong with talking about Kenneth Williams? Subject. No, I thought he was brilliant.
No, you see, he was talking about Leslie Phillips, and Leslie Phillips can hardly be called a small soul, more like a large crab.
And got in way, he was plugging one of his productions that he has over there right away from the subject of soul, even the capital of South Korea. So, Alfred, I agree with you. You have a correct challenge, and there are 19 seconds left, starting now.
Just before this show started, I was in what laughably called the green room here at the studio, and Derek Nimmo collared me and started telling me about this trip he just had from Seoul.
The capital Derek Nimmo challenged. I know, but it's the first time he's spoken on a subject,
see?
And he was already...
And I've just woken up.
Just woken up. He's already been inhibited by the fact that he had to come in there on a deviation. On this occasion, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be generous to you, Alfred. Let you continue. 15 seconds on Seoul, starting now.
Derek Nimmo was telling me...
Derek Nimmo, Charlie.
Derek Nimmo has been repeated
far too much. You did actually repeat Derek Nimmo.
Did I?
Yes. If you say it previously, you can't repeat it.
I didn't know. You see, I'm quite new to this.
I know you are fairly new, but this one I couldn't.
Oh, I see.
No,
yes.
So I'll have to give it to Derek.
Well done. Fine.
Yes. So you have got sub-points. Derek, you have the subject back of soul, and there are 13 seconds. Start. Shut up.
Oh, sorry. Just try borrowing another quid off me.
Yes. Right, Derek, with you, Seoul, starting
in now. In Seoul in 1979, they discovered a tunnel which had been bored from the north of the peninsula.
Alfred Marks, a chance.
Boring.
What I like to do on occasion like this is, as it wasn't a legitimate challenge within the rules of the game, but it was a super challenge, we give you a bonus point, Alfred, for that
delightful
challenge.
Thank you very much. You can have the quid then in that case.
We leave the subject with Derek Nimmo of Seoul, and there are 8 seconds left starting now.
In 1898, when the Japanese conquered the country, they destroyed most of what was old Seoul, but they left the...
Peter Jones a chance.
Repetition of 19.
19?
Yes, he gave a date earlier on.
1898. The first one was 1898.
It was a different century, actually, Peter.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, a repetition of teen.
Actually, it would be teenth, wouldn't it?
I suppose so.
It was a good chance. Right. A good try. I'm afraid I'd leave it with Derek. 3 seconds, Seoul, starting
The Olympic Games will take place there in 2 years' time. Everybody's enormously excited about it. They've got all sorts of...
I think we're getting it together now at last. So, what is the score? Yes, it's Kenneth Williams still in the lead. He's just 1 point ahead of Derek Nimmo. Alfred Marx is there with 2 points. And Peter Jones actually has yet to score, but that can change. Alfred, would you take the next round? Over Niagara in a barrel. Would you tell us something on that subject starting now?
Probably one of the most stupid ways to travel over Niagara is in a barrel. And some years ago, on the Two Ronnies show, it was suggested that for the sake of publicity, Ronnie Corbett should go over Niagara in a biscuit barrel. And he said, no, I refuse to. Now, I have been fortunate to go over Niagara, A, in a cable car, B, in a small plane, never, ever in a barrel. I look forward to that very much because I'm an adventurous sort of a person. I do believe that historically only one person has ever gone over Niagara in a barrel, and I think...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of person.
Yes, I'm afraid you did repeat the word person before.
Yes, and probably did. He probably had somebody in the barrel with him.
Yes. Even more devious.
Yes.
Peter, you have a point, the subject, and 31 seconds over Niagara in a barrel, starting now.
Well, anybody who does go over Niagara in a barrel must be pretty desperate for publicity. It's a wonderful example of someone going over the top, in my opinion.
Kenneth Williams,
I heard an in my opinion.
No, it was the audience, because they didn't like, they thought it was a very bad pun.
He said, in my opinion. I'm not talking about the audience, I'm talking about his lines.
I don't think it was enough to be a real hesitation. No, he was, I think it was a sort of elision of words, really.
He's getting senile, Ken. You haven't put up to it.
No, I want to be generous to Peter as well. No, Peter, you keep the subject. Over Niagara in a barrel, and there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
It's not very safe, because quite often the barrel breaks when it lands in the water at the bottom.
Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
Well, it was the same one that Kenneth challenged for. I can't allow yours. So, Peter, you continue with over Niagara in a barrel with 16 seconds starting now.
I suppose there may be fiberglass barrels that they could go.
I wish Alfred had challenged.
I did you, because you haven't got your ear trumpet with you.
If Alfred had challenged, then I still wouldn't have given
I
it.
At the same time as somebody else.
Yes, it was Derek who got in person. You're right, Derek. So you have the subject of over Niagara in a barrel, and there are 13 seconds starting now.
So I fill the barrel with polystyrene, lots of foam, got into it, got somebody to bang the top of it.
Alfred.
If he filled the barrel with all this stuff, he couldn't possibly have got in.
Absolutely. Very, very well thought out. Yes. Deviation. And he did repeat got, but that's incidental, but sometimes people write to me, I don't know why. There are 8 seconds left for you, Alfred. There are only 7 on over Niagara in a barrel, starting now.
I dug out all the polystyrene and all the foam that Derek Nimmo had put in the barrel. I clambered in and attempted this feat of going over Niagara in a barrel.
Mark started with the subject and got it back before the end, got another point for speaking as the whistle went, and at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmo are equal in the lead, but only 2 points ahead of Alfred Marx and Peter Jones, so it's a close contest this week, as we're back with Kenneth, and your turn to start. The subject is Barnum. Will you tell us something about that delightful man, starting now?
I only know that he ran this museum in New York and introduced freaks. Because he thought that would help people to come, you know, more of them would actually join in the fun. And one of them he put on was this General Tom Thumb. The title, of course, would have to be in inverted commas, but the man was a very famous dwarf, and this is how he made...
Peter Jones a challenge.
No, he wasn't a dwarf, he was a midget.
You shouldn't...
You shouldn't clap. No. He's completely wrong. The man was a dwarf.
No.
And the whole point about his shows was, and General Tom Thumb was the most famous dwarf. He wasn't a midget at all. That's quite a different
thing. No, he was a midget.
Great fool.
He was a midget.
He wasn't. You don't know anything about it.
Shut up.
You know there's a difference in a dwarf and a midget.
Yes, of course I do.
Yes.
It's a very small difference.
It wasn't. It wasn't. As a matter of fact, it may interest you to know that I got it from the Encyclopedia Britannica that General Tom Thumb was a dwarf. What? And if you think you know better than the Encyclopedia Britannica,
no, I don't.
I've got news for you.
Well, and I don't think I know any better, but what I do is when there is this sort of discord between our panelists, I always bow to the superior wisdom of our audience.
You bow to the superior wisdom of me.
I'm going to let our audience be the final judges. Now, if you agree that he was a dwarf, then you all cheer for Kennedy.
What a ridiculous thing. And if you disagree,
you all...
How do they know whether General Tom Thumb was a dwarf or not?
Well,
half of them
have
never even bothered to investigate the matter. What a ridiculous thing to ask them to pronounce upon. You can ask them to say, is the studio too hot? And they can all say yes. Or you can say, do you think it's too cold? And they can reasonably say no.
But you can't
ask them to pronounce on General Tom Thumb being a dwarf. Or not. They don't know, do you?
Yes. And while they do know, so right. You have had far more airtime than your opposition in putting your case, so you put your case admirably, and the audience can judge, and it'll be very fair because only you've spoken on behalf of the dwarfs. And if you agree, then you cheer for the dwarfs and you boo for the midgets, and you do it all together now. It's a draw. So we're not going to give any... leave the subject with Kenneth, and he continues with no points scored on Barnum, starting now.
About 1847, he decided to go clean. I think that's the best sort of expression to use, because he stopped all that sort of unorthodox stuff and presented Jenny Lind, who, as you know, was a very fine singer. She used to do these ballads and bits out of operas and things like that. And then he piled up a lot of money and went into partnership with a man called Bailey. This wasn't, in fact, until the last few years of his life. And we must remember that though the partnership is what became famous.
So Kenneth Williams started with the subject of Barnum and, in spite of interruptions, finished with the subject of Barnum. Peter.
Yes.
Your turn to begin. The subject is decoys. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, when you mention the word decoys, I think of those artificial ducks that people who shoot put on the water to attract the birds so that they can get a better shot at them. I don't think it's at all fair, just like they blow these whistles, which are supposed to imitate the mating calls of our feathered friends, and it does seem to me really pretty poor that they, in spite of having the best sort of equipment in the form of guns, rifles, or whatever it is, double-barreled things that they have to have these decoys, because it doesn't seem fair. A bird, after all, is...
Jerry Nimmer has challenged.
Repetition of fair.
Yes, you did say it wasn't fair before, right at the beginning.
Man, it isn't.
No. So Derek Nimmer has a correct challenge, so he takes over the subject of decoys with 24 seconds left, starting now.
Well, in Papua New Guinea, there was a local cannibalistic tribe nearby, so they tied to a stake this little midget. And they thought this would be sure to attract them to descend and capture him, and therefore they'd be able to kill all the cannibals that I was just telling you about. This is totally untrue, and I don't know why I'm talking about it.
Alfred Marshall's challenge.
Well, I think he said cannibals twice.
No, cannibalistic and then cannibals.
Is that what he said?
Yes, but he was deviating, wasn't he?
Of course, he talked about midgets. I mean, really, you know, that was having a very sly dig at my friend Kenneth here, and I thought it was very unnecessary. Kenneth made his point beautifully. You were right, Kenneth.
Yes.
He made his point beautifully.
Right, so, Alfred, thank you have much. The subject of decoy 6 seconds, starting now.
I haven't much sympathy for decoy ducks, but I do have the same amount of feeling for human decoys. During the war, there were very famous...
So, at the end of that round, Eric Nimmo is now equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams, but Alfred is only 1 point behind, and then comes Peter, 1 point behind him. And, Eric Nimmo, your turn to begin the subject, contract. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
There's very old theatrical superstition. If you find a piece of cotton on some, you lift it off, that means that you're going to get a contract. Obviously, a contract from some future employer who wants your services as an actor to perform in some theatre or other around the country, possibly in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, for instance. But, in fact, it usually starts with one...
Alfred marks the challenge.
More than one dwarf. He said seven dwarfs. The repetition of the dwarf.
The thought is...
Had he said Snow White and the dwarf and the others, I'd have passed it, but... Can't let
you
that
may
go
have passed it, but actually, in just a minute, it is what you say,
really?
And not the repetitious
really
thought.
It's slowly becoming the dwarf show, isn't it? Which, you know, that's fine. Okay, I stand corrected.
Derek Nimmo's managing to keep it up rather cleverly. Anyway, Derek, there are 37 seconds left. The subject is still contract, and it is still with you starting
a
now.
Contract might read, this is between Intercontinental Entertainment of 16 shift beer. I think I said something most unfortunate. I think I'd better wash my mouth out.
So Peter Jones is challenged.
It was a deviation.
Yes, and it was a hesitation and everything else. So Peter, you have a point and you have contract and you have 32 seconds starting now.
I remember the very first contract I had from the BBC, which was a long time ago, and they have...
Alfred has challenged.
It was a long time ago. You hesitated very badly.
Yes, Alfred, you have contract, and you have 24 seconds starting now.
One of the sweetest moments of my life was when my daughter was born. She is now well into her 20s. However, at the time of her birth, she received a contract from Val Parnell, the then impresario of the London Palladium, which is absolutely true, booking her for when she was 21 years of age, and that came and he went. So it didn't happen, I'm afraid. However, it remains one of the dearest things of my life and has been in my...
Derek Nimmo.
Repetition of life.
Life.
Happy days of life.
Life,
absolutely.
Yes.
I quite agree with you, Derek.
Yes, and you've done that wicked thing of getting in with only 1 second to go, Derek, on the subject of contract. 1 second starting...
I managed to contract measles because I came...
So, we're back with Alfred Marks now. Your turn to begin. Oh, what an interesting subject. Income tax inspectors. Do we have any in the audience? Deathly silence. We have one. We've got an income tax inspector in our audience. And Alfred is now going to tell you something about them. Starting now.
We may only have one in the audience, but I am assured there are many, many who listen to this. Of course, it's a...
Gary Limmer challenge.
Many,
hardly be called repetition, can it? I mean,
well,
when you say many,
know.
Many, not really.
I mean, they would say you can't have too much of it.
Too much of it, yes, absolutely. I quite agree with that.
They get too much out of us, don't they?
Yes.
So, you did say many, many, which...
I did indeed, yes.
...is wrong in just a minute, so with...
Of course.
55 seconds still to go, Derek Nimmo has got the subject of income tax inspectors starting now.
I was flying to New Zealand when I...
Peter challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was, Peter, yes. Let's hear from you on income tax inspectors, Peter Jones, and there are 53 seconds starting now.
Some years ago, an income tax inspector arrived.
It came out as Inson. Yes.
You can see how they all inhibit
us. What is the challenge?
What was the challenge? Alfred, you challenge.
Hesitation.
No hesitation at all.
It was yes.
No, there wasn't.
Definitely.
Yes. I just mispronounced the word.
Mispronunciation.
Well, that's not a challenge.
That's not a challenge.
No.
No. I still think it was a hesitation. I'm not
think it was a hesitation too, and Alfred has got the subject of income tax inspectors again, and there are 50 seconds starting now.
There are many income tax inspectors who are...
There's been many.
Yes, you said many, many before, it's the third time.
Oh, that's right. Just testing.
Got the subject back of income tax inspectors, and there are 47 seconds left, starting now.
At the Intercontinental Hotel in Auckland, this letter was waiting
Peter
for
Jones
me from...
Peter challenged.
He mentioned the Intercontinental Hotel before.
No, it's not in this round.
No, another round. He's advertising,
isn't he? If you mention it, it's what you say in this round.
Oh, I see, yes.
So that was an
incorrect... Oh, I take that back, then.
It's too late now, you've said. No. Here he gets another point, and there are 45 seconds on income... That's about the right time to spend on income tax inspectors, I think. 45 seconds starting now.
From Mr. R.G. Clare of the Inland Revenue Department claimed that I owe them $5,000 from a papers appearance in...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
I agree, Peter, yes. So you have income tax inspectors, and there are 27 seconds starting now.
This inspector visited me at my home, unannounced, and without any... he didn't...
That's a challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation again, yes. These inspectors are really getting through to us, aren't they? 32 seconds for you, Alfred, on income tax inspector, starting now.
This man went up and saw his income tax inspector and said, I have problems. And the income tax inspector said, why? And he said, well, I tell you, I have a house in Weybridge costing £1 million. It costs me 500,000 a year to keep up. I have a yacht in Cannes. I have a shooting lot in Scotland. And so the income tax inspector said, what is the trouble? He said, I'm only earning 50 quid a week. It goes to prove, of course, that income tax inspectors are very thoughtful and very kind and wonderful people if you go to them and tell them the truth. I started off by saying there were a few income tax inspectors who do listen.
Well, Alfred Marx was speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. And not only did he bring that round to a close, but he's brought the show to a close because we have no more time. Let me give you the final score. Well, we have an equal third here. Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones giving us their tremendous good value as usual, but not gaining quite as many points, finished in third place. Alfred Marx, our guest, starting very hesitantly, then with income tax inspectors, triumphed and finished in second place, just two or three points behind this week's winner, who was Derek Nimmo. Thank you. Well, I do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. By the way, you might be amused to know that at the BBC, this show is now referred to by its initials of J-A-M, Jam. So we hope you've enjoyed this jam session. And it only remains for me to say, on behalf of Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, Alfred Marx, and Kenneth Williams, also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for listening, and we hope that you will want to join us again the next time that we have a jam session. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.